I do hope you brought your Bible today. We're going to begin in John chapter 3, practical living in light of the two natures. As you're turning to John chapter 3, let me just say today, one of the most misunderstood issues in all of Christianity is the reality of the two natures of the believer. Many popular preachers today on radio, television, and so forth, the internet, even some of them deny that there are two natures of the believer, such as John MacArthur. He denies that, and others as well. And what it does is it leads to all kinds of not only confusion, but a person who does not understand this fact, it can cause tremendous anxiety in their life. We have seen this many, many times over the years and continue to. Not only anxiety, but as I mentioned, confusion, as also heartache, tremendous heartache, and misery in life. When you meet somebody who's, they trusted Christ as their Savior, and yet they still aren't sure of their eternal life, they're confused or they're wondering, well, am I a Christian because I have these thoughts, and so on and so forth. Folks, this is serious stuff. And this does land people in psych wards and so forth like that because they're kind of going crazy about it. And then you've got the preachers who say things such as this, well, when you get saved, everything in your life will change and get better. And if it doesn't, you're not saved. Okay, well, how do you measure that? And now, boy, you have really entered into a realm that is a disaster. As a matter of fact, it is not from God, because God is not the author of confusion. God brings truth and clarity, and that's what we find in the scriptures. But I hear that, and they'll quote verses like 2 Corinthians 5. You know, if you're saved, your life is going to, you know, manifest it in all these different ways. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, old things are passed away. Let me ask you a question. Do you still sin? Well, yeah, I do. Well, then I guess all things haven't passed away. You must not be saved. Oh, well, that's not what I mean. Well, I still sin, but I don't practice sin. Well, here you go. Down this road of total heresy and confusion for people. Let me just put everybody at ease this morning, okay? Every one of you in this room, including me, practices sin. If you do the same sin once you're saved again, and you do it again, you're practicing sin. What constitutes a practice? No one will ask these questions. We just love to preach these Pharisaical platitudes to people and figure they're going to buy it. Well, unfortunately, many do. And it leads to great confusion. I would like to look at some simple practical truths today concerning the two natures of the believer. Now, let me tell you something. I wish when we got saved, we only had one nature. The new one, by the way. We are not going to spend a lot of time on the doctrinal details of the two natures today, although it'll be there, but more on how this should affect our everyday lives as believers. You know, it is a shame when there is a person who's put their faith in Jesus Christ the Savior who is still living in bondage and defeat in their Christian life. It's not the will of God. But how do you get victory? And let me say this, you'll never understand how to get victory if you don't understand and be honest with the conflict you have inside. Now, we will begin with the doctrinal aspect of this because you have to have a foundation. So go with me to John chapter 3. Just not a lot of time on this one today. I heard a preacher, local preacher, many, many years ago. I remember talking to him once, and he said, well, this person, you know, they say they trusted Christ as Savior and that they're born again, but they're still going to the Catholic Church. Basically said, if they're still going to the Catholic Church, they're not saved. That's what he said. They're not saved. Now, let me tell you something. If you put your faith in Christ the Savior, you should get out of the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church teaches works for salvation. And if you don't see that, you need help, okay? Because it's very clear that is Catholic theology is you're earning your way to heaven through the sacraments. I know. I was a Catholic. And many in our church were former Catholics, right? Here's the problem, folks. You can't earn your way to heaven. That's why Jesus came, was to pay your sin debt. And he did that, and he purged our sins by himself on the cross, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And therefore, there's no need for a purgatory if you've accepted Christ as the one who purged your sins on Calvary. I'm getting off track. Here's the point, though. What that pastor said was not true. Because what he did, whether he meant it or not, is he is saying you have to leave the Catholic Church to be saved. Or if you don't, you're not saved. Well, wait a minute. Then you're saying that that is part of what it means to be... No. You should leave the Catholic Church if you've trusted Christ as Savior, but that's not a requirement. I know people who got saved, and they're definitely saved, but because of the fear of men and because of family rejection, they would not leave the church like they should. That's a tragedy, but it happens. You might say, well, there aren't any examples of that in the Bible, though, are there? Oh, yes, there are. The Pharisees who got saved but wouldn't speak up in John chapter 12, I believe it is, because they feared what people would say and what people would do. That's the same concept. Now, here in John chapter 3, we have this situation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, lest or that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, second birth. The word again here literally is the Greek word anoth, and it means from above, needs to be a spiritual birth. Unless a man is born again, but it is a second birth, so we have it translated as again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus is confused by that. Jesus is saying, you go back into the mother's womb and do it again. No, that's not what he was getting at. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. There's a flesh birth. There's a spiritual birth. Look up here. This represents the old flesh birth. Here we are. This is what we come into the world with. If this is all you have when you die, you'll end up separated from God in hell for all eternity. You have to be born again. You need a second birth. You need a new birth. All right? So then the question comes up, how are you born again? Well, if you just, we keep reading the passage and it becomes clear. Go with me to verse 16. Jesus says to him, he's still talking to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, people will look at John 3:16 and say, well, believe what about him? Well, remember, this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament very well. And Jesus, right before this, gives the illustration from the Old Testament of the serpent. Remember, the serpent spit the children of Israel. And so what they needed to do is they needed to take a serpent, put it on a pole, hold up the pole, and anybody who would look at that would be saved, would be delivered from dying. Okay? Look and live. We actually have a hymn. Look and live. Great, great hymn. Nicodemus understood that the Son was going to pay for sin. This is what Jesus was getting at. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we look back, we know what Jesus did for us, all right? If this was you and me, here we are, this is our sin, we're all sinners. Yet God loves us, he hates our sin, but he loves us. He wants us to live with him forever in heaven, but we cannot go to heaven with our sin. Heaven is a perfect place. No sin will dwell there. So then how do you get rid of your sin? Well, if we die with our sin, we're going to be lost forever, separated from God in hell. How do we get rid of our sins? Good works? No, good works won't pay for sin. It might make you look more religious. You may live a better life as far as doing good works. Doing good works is better than doing bad works, right? But good works won't pay for sin. The Bible's very clear. We have it over here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So look up here. Because there's nothing we can do to work our sin off, that is the reason Jesus came. If we could have earned our way to heaven by our good works, Jesus would have never entered the human race and paid for sin. We need a payment for sin. The sin has to be paid for. But because there's nothing we can do to take care of this in ourselves, it's not by works, Jesus came. He entered the human race, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus went to the cross, and when he did, he took our sin upon himself. He died in our place, and he made the payment so we don't have to. Jesus paid for all of our sin. He was buried and rose from the grave, and he says, if you believe that he has paid for all your sins, he will give you as a gift everlasting life. He'll never cast you out, he'll never lose you, because if he did, it would not be everlasting. It would be probationary, or life until you sinned. No, friend, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If all your sin is paid for, there's nothing to send you to hell. If all your sin is paid for, there's nothing to keep you out of heaven. And all that God's asking us to do is believe or put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ that he's paid for our sins. When you do, you are born again. This is what Jesus told him in verse 16. Nick, you want to know how to be born again? Believe in me as your Savior. Believe in me. So the first thing we see today is we need a new birth. Now, when a person trusts Christ, a new birth takes place. Once a person is saved, now here we go, folks. You listening? Once a person is saved, they have two natures. They still have, this is where false doctrine comes in. False doctrine says when you get saved, you don't have a sin nature anymore. You only have a new nature. That's what MacArthur teaches. It's false. The Bible says we're born into the world with an old nature. We need to be born again. When you get saved, you have a new nature as well as an old nature. While the domination of the old sin nature has been broken, it is still there. How do you know it's still there? Do you still sin? If you sin, it's not from the new nature, because that's born of God. It cannot sin, 1 John 3:9. It has to be the old nature. That's why we still sin. That's why there are some Christians who are the most obnoxious, difficult, bitter, nasty, wicked people you'll ever meet. They're Christians. How could they be that way and be saved? Now, I know there are people say, well, they can't be that way if they're saved, but they are saved. Why? Because they still have a sin nature. See, it's a choice on which nature you live by. It's a choice. And this is so practical today. The bondage was broken. In other words, once you're saved, you don't have to live under the bondage of the sin nature anymore. This is why we still sin. But we also have a new nature. And this new nature produces, these two natures now produce a conflict inside of us. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. There's a conflict. Now, sometimes it's a loud conflict. Sometimes it's a very stubborn conflict. Sometimes it just seems like it's not a big conflict, but it is, between those two natures. See, our old nature, folks, does not want to please God. Our new nature, all it wants to do is please God. But there's a conflict then between the two. With the new nature, there are often new desires and a new awareness of things. I remember when I got saved, I was now aware of sin. I was now aware of an understanding. There was an awareness. Now, how you respond to that, that's up to you. It's not automatic that you're going to do the right thing. But the new nature does have a new awareness with it. But the old nature's desires are also still there. In Galatians 5:17, it says this, for the flesh is the old nature, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh, lust, wars against, the word flesh, or lust means wars against. The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, contrary, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you decide you want to do something that's right, but there's a part of you that fights it. I'll give you a simple example of that. Some people have a very hard time reading their Bible. It isn't that they can't read. It's that they find every reason not to. Which nature is controlling? The old nature. The old nature does not want to be in the Word of God, but the new nature loves the Word of God because the Word of God, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the new nature is the nature that God Himself puts in us, and therefore it loves the things of God. So there's this conflict. Here's another one. It's Sunday. I should go to church. Well, I don't want to go to church. I've had a hard week. I was up late last night. I'm not feeling real good. There's a bunch of hypocrites that go there. I'm just rattling off some of the excuses. Which nature's giving the excuses? It's not the new nature. It's the old nature. The new nature saying, come on! You know what you're supposed to do. You know where you're supposed to be. Oh, but flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other. There's a battle in there. See, it is God's will that every believer grows and matures and is transformed into a godly believer. But it is not automatic, as some people teach today. Well, if you're saved, you're automatically going to, this is a big one. If you're saved, you're going to love the things you once hated and hate the things you once loved, maybe. And how fast is that going to take place? And is it going to take place? And what about the people who, when they got saved, it was like, yeah, I can see it. Man, I'm out of this old life I was in. And then a few years later, they find themselves going back in. Oh, you know what the solution of some preachers is? Well, they were never saved. No. They may have very well gotten saved, but you know what they did? They started making wrong choices, and they started exercising the old man, and it became easier to obey. Because whatever nature you exercise, it's easier to obey over time. The more you exercise one or the other, it's easier to obey that one. And so they started going this way, and they started getting back into the bad habits, the bad ways, and so forth, and now they're in defeat. Spiritual growth is related to the new man. Now listen, folks, here we go. We're moving into the very practical on this. If we do not start growing as believers, our lives will end up with many problems. Listen carefully. This nature loves to sin, this old nature. This new nature hates sin. This is born of the flesh. This is where Satan operates through, okay? This is born of the spirit. It doesn't sin at all. This one brings freedom to life. This one brings bondage to life. I'll say it again. This one brings bondage to life. Well, that's all fine and good, but I don't want to be a fanatic. I mean, little church is good, but I don't want to be there all the time. Now they're saying Sunday school, come to Sunday school. Wait a minute. That's 2 hours. And then they're also saying come Sunday night. That's 3 hours. How fast does 3 hours go in front of a TV set? Which nature does God want you to live by? This one's going to bring you more and more into bondage. The wages of sin is always death. This one is going to bring you into freedom in life. This is what the Bible teaches. Romans, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I just love this verse. Now, I think this can be applied. Yes, it's true in a positional sense, but it's also true in a practical sense for the believer. In Romans 8, verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, in other words, your mind is on the things of the flesh, the old nature. For to be carnally minded is death, destruction. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me ask us all this morning, you want a life characterized by death and destruction, or do you want a life characterized by life and peace? Isn't it simple when you get right down to it? It's not complicated. Isn't that amazing today? Everybody said everything that comes up, it's complicated. It's complicated. Why don't you just say this? I don't want to do the right thing. Just be honest. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we see first that we've already seen we need a new birth. Once you're born again, number two, we need to grow spiritually. We need to grow spiritually. Little Ellie Steffes was born recently. What a sweetie. Oh, you know, I know she's a sweetie. Why? Because I talked to her today and she's smiling at me. I'm just joking. But she is a sweetie. But you know what? She's a very different baby than when she was born. Right, Aaron? How old is she now? 3 months old. She's growing. She's putting on weight. She's becoming more alert. These are all good signs. This is normal development of a child. Can I tell you this, folks? When a baby is born into your family, you expect the child to grow and develop. That is the way it should be. Can I also say this? In the family of God, that is the way it also should be. When a person gets saved, they should start growing and developing in maturity as a believer. Okay? Life should start changing. Here's the difference. It's not automatic. Because you still have two natures, you still got a sin nature. And the more we exercise this one and pay attention to it, this one stunts your spiritual growth. Okay? It takes away from you. God wants us to exercise the new man, and this is what develops and matures our character as believers. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, if Ellie, we would never want this, and we pray it doesn't happen, but like with any child, if any child does not start developing properly, what do you do? Something's wrong. We need to take her to the physician. They need to go to the physician to see what is wrong, what is going on. Let me tell you, folks, if we as believers are not growing, we need to go to the great physician to see what is wrong with us, because it's not God's will that we do not grow and develop as believers. I know. Yeah, but my old sin nature, it's just, I want to do the right thing, and my old sin nature's there, and No, listen, you're accepting defeat. We don't have to be defeated. We choose defeat. We have two natures. It is up to us which one we will go with. If I live in defeat, spiritual defeat, it's because I'm choosing to exercise and pay attention to the old man instead of the new man. It's a choice. It's a choice. We need to grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere, means pure or undefiled, milk of the word. This is it, the word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may do what? Grow thereby. Notice that it is through the Bible that we grow. That's why we want people to be in church. That's why we want them to be here as much as they can. That's why we're a Bible-focused, Christ-focused church here. Because this is what produces spiritual growth and maturity in the life of believers. And that's why we not only encourage everyone to be in the Word of God on a daily basis, but we even teach how to be in the Word of God and learn the Word of God on a daily basis. Because we know that you're not going to grow the way you should if you're not in the Word. See, the Bible is spiritual food for the soul. It is the same in the physical realm. Without food, you will become weak and sickly. With proper nutrition and exercise, though, you will have a much greater well-being about you, and you'll have greater health, better health. It's the same way with the Word of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 15, it says this. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You know what that is? That is the application of God's word. It's learning the truth of God and now speaking the truth of God in love. And what is one of the results of that? Growing up spiritually. What a tragedy it is that there are some saints who have gray hairs who are still spiritual babies. I don't think we have a lot of that in our church, but that is the case in some churches. Shouldn't be. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this. It says, but grow in grace. See, there's supposed to be growth in a Christian life. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let me give you another verse. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it says this, "Well, we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Your faith grows exceedingly. Now look, the Thessalonian believers, you know what? They came into the world, this is all they had. When they trusted Christ as Savior, now they had a new nature. God says, I want you to grow. You're born into the family. Everybody who's born into the family of God is a spiritual baby. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's a fact. 1 minute after you've been born again, you're a 1 minute old babe in Christ. What do we do about that? Well, you don't do anything about it, but what we ought to do now is start nurturing that new child of God, getting them into the Word of God to where they can start learning it little by little. Basic concepts, deeper concepts as time goes on. They need to learn how to exercise, take the word and now exercise the new nature that God gave them. And as they do, they start growing. And as they start exercising this one and neglecting this one, they start really experiencing freedom in life. And they'll say things like, you know what? I never knew how great it could be. Which leads us to our third point. We need to exercise ourselves spiritually. This is living out the new life in Christ. If we spend our time on exercising the new man, we will grow and mature. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, you know, I know we've got some newer believers in church as well as others. Can I tell you this, friend? Don't get impatient. You might say, oh, I wish I knew more. Oh, I wish I understood more. Oh, I wish I'd do this, do that. Let me tell you something about our church. We want to help you, encourage you. We want to love you and help you understand the Christian life to where you can start grasping spiritual truths, to where you can start applying those to your life, to where your life can be transformed. And you're going to be blessed. God's going to give you the abundant life in Christ. That's what we want. Can I tell you this? We're in your corner. We want to help with this. That's what our church is all about, getting people saved and training them up in the Word of God, them becoming disciples, followers of Jesus Christ once they're saved. You don't follow Christ to get saved. Once you're saved, you should follow Christ. Let's understand that. But we need to exercise ourselves spiritually, and that's how we grow. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables." Wives' fables. I guess maybe one would be like cleanliness is next to godliness. It's an interesting one, huh? Where'd we get that? Tell that to a farmer. He's got all kinds of gunk all over his hands from a hard day's work. Ooh, don't you know cleanliness is next to godliness? His old nature just got out of hand, okay? Anyway, 1 Timothy 4:7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." You can relate to the word exercise here. Greek word is gymnazo. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Exercise yourself. What? Spend 15 hours a day on a treadmill or on an elliptical or some other machine? No. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And we believe in physical exercise, but when it's compared to spiritual exercise, it's way in the back. For bodily exercise profits a little. There's profit in it, some. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So when we talk about exercising ourselves unto godliness, learning how to be in the Word of God and glean from the Word of God. But folks, listen, it's not just a matter of the accumulation of knowledge. Never, 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 never stop there. Because what you're going to do is you are going to become arrogant. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. It's getting the knowledge. It's just like putting fuel in your tank in your car. You put fuel in your car so you can run it to accomplish something with it. We put the Word of God in us so that we can learn it, so that we can know how to apply it to life. And we exercise out the principles of God's Word towards other people. And as we do that, God starts using us. And by the way, that is also a path to maturity and growing up spiritually. So we learn the Word of God But it isn't just learning. It's not just for our information. It's for our transformation. We learn the Word of God. We learn how to pray to the Lord. Men, please come Tuesday night to Men of God. We're going to be covering something incredibly important for your life, for your family's life, for the life of the church. We try to reach other people for Jesus Christ. One of the things that will grow you up spiritually is sharing the gospel with others. Did you know that? How is that? Well, you share the gospel, you have to know the Word of God because you need to know what to say. So we have to be in the Scriptures. Let's say you share the gospel with someone, they don't trust Christ. So what do? Well, you go to the throne of grace and you pray for that person. Just all the different aspects, all these things go together. It's wonderful. The Bible, prayer, reaching others for Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church. This is what church is about. We come together and we encourage one another, provoke one another unto love and to good works. See, folks, what you spend time with, or let me put it this way, what you spend your time on is what you will become. That's what you'll be like, what you spend your time on. So I have two natures and I have a choice. If I'm going to live according to my new nature, I'm going to become more godly. If I live according to my old nature, I'm going to become more ungodly. I have a choice. There's a lot of Christians who are very ungodly because they've decided to live according to their old nature. Just give in, just be like the world, and it's a tragedy. Think of the things that you do as your friends that you hang around with. Friends are like buttons on an elevator, right? They either take you up or down. The things that we do, think of them as the people you hang around with. I do this, I do that. Okay, let me ask you, are they a good influence in your life? Are they moving you in this direction or are they moving you in that direction? They will either take you up or down. The inner life and character of the believer needs building up. The Lord builds us up by revealing the truth to us through the Holy Spirit, which is able to build us up and transform us into the image of His Son. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures, but it's important we get this. Look with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We see here the importance of faith. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, look what it says. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How do you do that? By faith in His word. You believe the gospel. Where do you find the gospel? In the Scripture. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. The faith is the Word of God. It's what the Bible says clearly. That's what the faith is. As you have been taught, see that? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. How did I receive Christ? By faith in the Word of God. How am I to live my life? By faith in the Word of God. The same way I got saved is the same way I'm supposed to live my life, by faith in the Lord and His Word. Let's move on. Number 4, we need to abstain from those things that continue to appeal to our old sin natures. Let's say, for an example, you're addicted to drugs and you start getting away from them, or you go and you get detoxed or whatever. What is the worst thing you can do? To start taking drugs again, right? Folks, the things in our lives that are destructive, the worst thing we can do is to keep paying attention to those things. We need to abstain from them. The word abstain means to get away from them. Get away from it. There is addiction, and then there is destruction. Listen, addiction has to do with the old nature. This leads to destruction. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a choice. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, fleshly carnal desires. What do? Why do we need to abstain from them? Abstain from fleshly lusts. Look at the graphic language here. Which wars against the soul. There's an inner war that goes on. to carry on a campaign. The word war literally means to carry on a campaign, like a war campaign. The world around us, see, it has a strategy. That's a strategy of tragedy. Wow, that's pretty good. The world around us has a strategy to influence and control people for its own ends. Who heads up the world system? Satan does. And he knows how to appeal to this old sin nature. And he knows, as we as believers, if we start living according to the sin nature, it's going to take us down. It's going to destroy us. But we have a choice. We can either walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, life and peace. He's the God of this world. Abstain from fleshly lust. These are things that appeal to the flesh. Anything that puts you in fulfilling the flesh, the sin nature. When I talk about the flesh, I'm talking about the sin nature. Let me give you some practical things here. Music that promotes a spirit of rebellion. Fleshly or perverse videos. Wicked literature, such as pornography, or worldly things that are promoting a sensual, attractive thing for you to pattern your life after, to influence your life for ungodliness. Bad television, even weights in life. And when I talk about weights, I'm not talking about literally physical lifting weights. I'm talking about spiritual weights. What are those? Those are time and thought robbers in life. These things, they war against the soul. Look, remember, well, I want to do what's right. Yeah, you don't want to do what's right. You want, man, this is, come on, take a break from all this Bible thumper stuff and this weirdo, you know, this Christian stuff. Oh, you're goody two-shoes. Look at you and all, you know. Don't go that way. Go this way. All these mind, these battles going on in the mind. See, the devil shoots fiery darts, bad thoughts, trying to tempt us to go this way instead of this way. Don't kill your appetite for the food of the soul by feeding on the garbage of the world. Not worth it. We need to neglect the old man. We need to give our attention to the new man. Okay, that means you neglect him. Turn your back on him. 1 Peter 4:2 says that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Let me give you another one here. We need to replace the old and ungodly with the new and the godly. You have to see this. Turn with back to me a few pages over to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, here's an interesting passage of Scripture. Who's he writing to? He's writing to believers. And he's telling believers, I don't want you to live like lost people live. But remember, they were lost at one point. They knew what he was talking about. The culture of Ephesus was a very ungodly culture. And he says, I don't want you to live like you used to live. And then he starts listing things here. Now, people will see the list and they'll say, oh, well, this is talking about the lost Gentiles. Yeah, but they were all lost Gentiles, the people he's talking to. And he's telling them, I don't want you to live that way any longer. Now, these people who say, well, once you're saved, you won't live wickedly anymore, because if you do, you're not saved. Then why is he telling them not to live this way if they can't live this way? They can live this way. You can live this way, but we shouldn't live this way. It's what he's getting at. We're born again. We're children of God. We should grow spiritually. We should not pay attention to the old. We should now pay attention to the new. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all moral uncleanness with greediness. Don't live that way. Why? Look at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Don't live that way, because now you're born again. Don't be like the other Gentiles. That's what they were. But you have not so learned Christ. Now you have a new nature. Don't live like you used to. verse 21. If so be, now here's where the replacement, folks. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then what's very interesting after this, what does he do? He starts giving us examples of the way we were and now the way we should be. Neither give place. Be angry, don't sin. Okay, neither give place to the devil. Him that stole, steal no more, but let him labor instead. Okay, replacement. Listen, person gets saved. They're a new babe in Christ. What God wants them to start doing is start replacing the things of this old life, which is corrupt, and the things we're doing were corrupt, and corrupt practices, listening, watching, doing things that are corrupt, that bring death and destruction to life. Instead of that now, start replacing them with godly things instead. You might say, what about my friends? I got lots of friends who need Christ. Amen. They need Christ, just like you need a Christ. So what do you do about that? It's not just going to happen. It's not osmosis. Talk to them about Christ. Well, you know, I was talking to so-and-so and I've lost them as a friend. Guess what? Were they your friend? You need to try to reach them. But if they don't want to be reached, you don't participate in evil with people thinking that's how you're going to reach them. God never sanctions us to do what is wrong. Yes, we need to reach the lost, but he doesn't want us to become like the lost. There's a big difference there. So we need to replace the old and ungodly with the new and godly. Change your music. Used to listen to all kinds of corrupt, evil music. Listen, I was so into evil music before I got saved. I mean, it's awful, awful. There's probably no one on the planet who listened to worse stuff than I did. I know things have gotten really, really bad in some ways, and I've never listened to it. I'm assuming that things have gotten worse. But all the stuff, you know, they used to call it, they didn't call it, well, I don't even know the names nowadays. Back then it was acid rock. Okay, where do you get acid rock? What does that have to do with LSD? I never took drugs, amazingly. But music that promotes taking trips, and I'm not talking about to Duluth. I'm talking about through narcotics. Okay, this kind of hallucinogenics and all that. Listen. Don't listen to music that promotes that stuff. Listen to godly music that is going to encourage you to grow spiritually. Bring peace and joy to your life. But if all you do is just cut out the bad and you don't replace it with the good, sooner or later you're going to say, my life's empty. And you're going to gravitate back to this. That's why you got to have replacement. Last thing today, walking in the Spirit. One more verse, Galatians. Just a couple pages over to your left, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So you can cut out all the bad things in your life, but if you don't replace them, you end up with an empty life. Let's say here we are, it's Minnesota, it's still winter, unfortunately. Do you know what, folks? It's winter, and in the winter in Minnesota, you need a coat. Well, let's say you've been wearing the same coat for 10 years, and it's pretty ratty at this point. It's got more holes than fabric. And you say, you know what, it's time for a new coat. I need to get rid of this old coat. You better buy a new one before you get rid of the old one. Because if you throw the old coat away and you don't have a new coat to put on, you're going to freeze to death. You see what I'm getting at? God has given us, and by the way, all you need to ask, what do I replace these things with? We'll tell you. God has given us replacements for the things of the old life so your life does not have to be empty when you separate from that which is evil. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To the extent we give our attention to this, we're not giving our attention to this. To the extent we give our attention to this, we will walk in victory, not defeat, because this is where defeat is found. Does that make sense? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that's where it begins. I urge you today to put your faith in Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, and he will save you, and you'll become a child of God, and you'll be on your way. Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.